You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week I will bring you guests that will inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. I will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and authors sharing valuable stories and helpful information who are working to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound and make this world a better place for all of us. And I'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, our guest today lived in a cult for the first 18 years of her life. After a failed marriage, Elle Benet began a journal about being raised in a cult and her life changes that followed after she escaped, which included a miscarriage, divorce, and a foreclosure. As a way of healing, she began searching for the positive that could be gleaned from her adversities. Years later, Benet converted her journal into a memoir as she wanted to inspire others to realize there is no goal too distant that one cannot achieve. They Made Me Do It is the name of her first book, and it documents her story. Elle, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you for having me, Alan.
Well, I want to tell you that I really appreciate not only you coming on the air, but writing a book. I think that that is one of the things that, many of us do not really have the courage to do. You know, we all go through times of grief. We all go through things that we may not have chosen to do. Most of us do not go through something this horrific, but to then take it and use it as a catalyst to help other people, I really commend you for that. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I guess the idea behind it is just like you said, I realized myself, I was very compartmented, and I think that's just natural as we as people are. We don't vocalize or share a lot of the tribulations and trials that we're going through. And I realized that I myself was doing that, and it did not do me any benefit hoarding all of that in. It was a bunch of negative energy, and it was weighing me down. And it wasn't until I began journalizing a lot of the things that I was going through, my divorce and fighting for custody of my children, that there was a sense of freedom that it gave me. And going through that alone, I didn't want anyone else to have to go through that as well. So I said, I want to use my life as a catalyst to reach others, millions of others, that are going through the foreclosure, divorce, the experience of a miscarriage, and to inspire them through their own journey and to get them through and to their goals.
Well, and that's what I mean by it. It is such a giving thing to do. I know that many of the programs that we take young people to really promote the fact of journaling as being a great way to, you know, to help lighten the load. And so it's great that you found that, but then to take it one step further and say, now I'm going to present it out to the world so that other people can learn from this. That's where I think it becomes special. And I think probably the best way for us to really get started is, you know, I've mentioned the name of the book, and I think for anybody out there, if you want to follow along with us, I mean, if Obviously, if you're in your car, you can't do this. But if you're sitting at a computer and you're listening to us, you can open up another screen and you can follow along and you can go to Elle's website, which is www.elle, and then B as in boy, E, N as in Nancy, ET.com, and you can just open up another window. You can follow along with us, and we welcome you. So, but if you can give us kind of a quick overview of the book, I think that's probably the best way for us to really get into this.
Absolutely. The book, They Made Me Do It, is a journal of my life, which began being raised within a cult. And it takes you from my childhood of being raised within a cult, a very strict environment, into me in my adult years. And there was a lot of negativity, so it seemed, going through it, being raised in that environment. But I realized, if I reflect back and I find a positive point in all of this, it's going to help me break through what the challenges that I'm going through right now. To give you a little background, as being raised in a cult, it's something that it is here, it's live, it's happening now. In fact, the church actually made the news again because the parents are being charged for manslaughter. Experiences that you have, taking your daughter to ballet class, your son to soccer, those are experiences that I myself and many of the children that are in the cult will never know what that feels like, because we were unable to socialize with children and, you know, people outside of that organization.
I was going to say, give us some examples, because I think, you know, people that are watching the news and they hear about these things that are going on television and they go, well, you know, how did this occur? But to be able to understand it, I mean, so we talk about education. So one of the first steps is, are they homeschooling everybody? Is that the first step that sort of keeps you out of contact with others? And then what are some of the other things that they're doing that plants those thoughts in a child's mind that this is somehow the way it's supposed to be?
Mm-hmm. Well, to be going to the school, you had to first be a member of the cult, so no outsiders were able to participate unless you attended the churches. And we attended church Monday, Tuesday morning, Wednesday evening, Saturday evening, three times Sunday. So again, unless you participated, your child was not able to be a part of that church. And it was very difficult as far as, even with that, as a child, you're wondering what is outside, but you're fearful because you're taught, if you leave this church, if you leave this cult, you're not going to make it into heaven. And it's brainwashing, because a mental hold on someone is a lot more difficult than a physical. The door is open and you can walk out, but you can't, because you're living in fear. And, you know, I lived in fear for all my life. And you have to have the mental strength to be able to break through, to see what is beyond those doors. And a lot of children could not make that adjustment because they would turn to drugs or alcohol, because it's very difficult. You're living a life, when once you leave, you feel all these bad things are going to happen to me. I'm going to get hit by a car. I'm going to, my son is going to, you know, and it's a fearful way to live, but that's how they had that control of you.
So now, are they controlling how you dress? Are they making sure that nobody has access to television or radio so that you can't see how the rest of the world is living?
Absolutely. There was no radio. There was no television. We did not know what was going on outside of the world. We were able to get newspapers, but that was as far as it would go. It was embarrassing going to school, because we had to take public transportation, and I had to wear skirts down to my ankles, or at least covering my knees. You could not bare your arms or anything like that. Your hair had to be pinned up, because there were some women, some of the girls that were, I guess, considered rebels, they would trim their hair, and that was not allowed. So we had to have our hair tied up. No makeup and no jewelry, very plain. And I would get teased, you know, traveling to and from school, and that was very traumatic in and of itself. So it was just a laundry list of things that just, I don't know, just really had a hold on you.
Now, so you're going to a public school, is that correct?
I was taking public transportation.
Oh, it was public transportation to go to a private school?
To go to the private school.
To go to the private school, and the private school was a school only for people that were part of this particular cult.
Only, yes.
Only,
yes.
Okay. So the only time that you were around other people. Now, what did you think at that point, or what did they tell you if you get on public transportation and you're looking at other girls that are wearing short skirts and makeup and things like that? What did they tell you what that meant?
They were considered of the world. They were not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And I was very confused, because I was taught that these children are not happy. And it's very confusing for me, because as I'm traveling, I see girls huddled together and they're laughing and having a great time. And I'm sitting there confused, because I see that they appear to be happy, mm-hmm. but I'm being told that they're not happy. And unless they change and come to our church, they will not make it. And I got really depressed, because I felt for, and I yearned for them to be saved, because I said, oh my God, all these people are going to die. They're all going to die, and they don't know it, and they're not going to make it into heaven. And it's very hard to wrap your mind around, especially, you know, as a child.
Now, did you have any conversations with them? I mean, you said that they teased you, so we see what their approach was to you. Did you have any conversations with them from the standpoint of sort of, you know, I'd love to be able to help you, because based on the way that you're being raised, you feel that they're all going to hell?
Not at all. I had no desire to reach out to them. Again, we were taught you don't socialize. And that was another point. Well, then how are these people going to be part of our church if we can't talk to them? And
right.
I was, you know, told it's by your attire, how you dress and how you present yourself and how, you know, all of that will attract these people to this church. And as I got older, I just could not wrap my mind around it. And I wanted to take that risk, because it was so confusing for me. I had to just find out for myself what was on the other side. And I did. And I have no regrets or qualms about it. But I think a lot of seeing relatives die that were close to me because of no medical intervention, and families, mothers, fathers literally watching their child on their deathbed, but because of safe healing, they would die. And it just did not seem right to me. It just did not seem right to me. And again, it hit the news again, and the practices are still the same. And I want to be able to reach as many people as I can, just to let them know that this is, you know, going on, and to bring attention and light to it.
So what you're saying is that they're also, you are forbidden to see what would be considered outside medicine. So what is inside medicine? What was acceptable?
Just the power of belief. If God meant for you to continue living, he would heal you of your ailment, no matter what it may be. My brother, for example, he was on his deathbed. He looked like a skeleton. He was so bad that he couldn't even drink water from a straw. They were, you know, taking drops of water, and he was choking on it. And I was very young at the time, and my eldest, well, the second to the oldest brother, he went to work, and he said, you know, I would never be able to live with myself knowing that my brother is at home dying, and I never took action. I could never live with myself. And so when my parents weren't around, he came home, he left work early, and he grabbed my brother, took him to the hospital, and the doctors had to rush him to the ER because they said he is dying and he needs emergency attention. And my brother saved his life.
I mean, well, I guess one of the things is, was your brother punished for that?
Yes. He never told me what happened to him. My father was very abusive. So he never shared what he had to go through for the decision that he did. But I'm thankful for what he did.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. Now, it's, you know, they wouldn't listen to anything that was along the lines of, okay, so you're saying that, you know, that if he's supposed to live, God will, you know, God will take care of him. God will send something. Well, how about the fact that God sent these doctors and gave them these things to be able to do exactly what it is that he needs? That wasn't an acceptable answer?
And, you know, that's something that my grandmother, she would come and visit, and she was a part of the cult, and she would try to pull my father aside, I was told years later, and rationalize with him that God put these doctors on the earth to heal. And you know, she wasn't welcome in the house. I recall not seeing her very often, and I said years later, as an adult, you can look back and I understand why, because she was feeding that into my father and trying to make him realize that this is absurd. And I think it was a really big turning point for my mother that the doctor saved my brother, because my brother talked to my mother the one day, and she was just staring out the window, And she just muttered to herself, she said, God would have saved him. God would have saved him. And she was very confused as to how the doctors were able to save my brother. But it opened our eyes and made us question a lot of the beliefs that we were being told from the pastor.
Is this pastor still, for lack of better terms, preaching?
Yes, he's still leading the organization. He is, and he's still practicing the same belief, which again, I'm sure it's why there a lot of the parents are on manslaughter charges now. But they're firm in their belief. They're firm in what they believe, and another factor that makes it so difficult to leave is that they're very kind people, and it's a family environment. And who wants to leave your family? And that's very challenging in and of itself. They're not menacing people. They don't try and do harm, but yet they do. Even now, as an adult, I'm just finding and discovering who I am. That's 18 years of your life that you lost, and a lot of learning to do even now. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to have an open mind to see if there's something beyond what was taught.
Now, what is the significance of the book title? How did you come to decide that it would be called They Made Me Do It?
Because I titled it They Made Me Do It because of the seemingly negative connotation to it. When you hear They Made Me Do It, it feels like, you know, someone, you're invoking blame for your current situation. And that's what many of us actually do for wherever we are in our life. It's so easy to blame someone else for your current predicament. But the use of the title was to open people's eyes in how you choose to perceive whatever it is that you're going through. I could place blame on anyone in my past, but I choose not to. I choose to thank them for getting me to where I am today. They made me do it. They made me the individual that I am today. And instead of holding animosity towards them, I thank them.
See, and I think that's beautiful, because that's kind of the feeling that I get. You're not, and that's why the title, you know, kind of struck me, because I thought, you know, now as I learn more about the situation, and I'm thinking, no, she really isn't blaming anybody, and it seems like, and you're not holding any resentment. You have done, and this is actually something that I have, at times in working with young people, have said, you know, that there comes a time in which you have to make a decision and say that, you know, what I got from my parents are things that I learned, and I learned from the things that were good, and I learned from the things that weren't so good, but I'm still at a point in which I'm the one now making decisions and moving forward, and that's what I get from you, and I think that's great, especially having gone through that.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just hope that by sharing a lot of the life experiences I have gone through, that people can reflect on what they're going through in their own life. It's a lot easier, I feel, when you can reflect and read about someone else's life, and you look back at your own and you realize, you know, I did come a long way. I did overcome a lot, and I have a lot to be thankful for, and my goal is obtainable, because look at what they did, what they went through, and what their experiences were. And it was, took years, actually, to share so much of my life, because it is very, a lot of personal experiences. And I did it in a small, you know, with friends initially, and I saw how it helped them through their own things that they were going through, and their feedback that I got propelled me to share it on a bigger scale. And I finally came to terms 2 years later to do that. Mm-hmm. And I have no regrets, no regrets at all.
I think that's great. We have an email message coming across in front of me right now, and this one reads, my son met a young woman whose family left their religious group because it was becoming very cult-like. They said leaders were trying to separate the parents from their kids and were suggesting that they determine who their daughter should marry from among their group. It was extremely hard for Sarah in the beginning because she was close to the friends she had grown up with. Now she is so very grateful. She describes it as an escape just in the nick of time. What's your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. My take is on it, when they are doing what they're doing, separating the parent from the child, it's one of the hardest things to go through, and you want to know, well, what can I do to save my child, to bring them back? The best thing you can do is to let it go and to be there and let them know if they ever need support, you are there. Because once you reach out and try to change their mind, you're pushing them further and further and further away from you. Because as a child, we just want to do the opposite of what our parents tell us to do.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand why, but that's what I did. It just seems the nature of a child.
Yeah, there is that point around the teenage years that we all seem to want to rebel a little bit. Now, and I can ask you something more personal. You had mentioned in regards to your brothers. After going through all of this, who are you still in contact with, and who aren't you in contact with?
In terms of my...
Your own family. Yeah.
Yes. I had five brothers, and two of the eldest, they left first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, actually three of them left. And then I left. My one brother, older eldest than me, he could not handle being outside. It got to him. He began thinking that what he was doing was bringing a lot of negative things to his life because he left.
Uh-huh.
So he returned. And it wasn't until he saw that my brother, and my eldest brother were fine in our lives and no harm came to us, you know, that encouraged him to finally leave the cult. He said, I was waiting for that call. I was waiting to hear something happen to you. You know, that you were in an accident, but that call never came. And my curiosity as to why not. It just got the best of me. And now he's joined us. He's outside. He's loving life. And he's just amazed at what this life is.
Wow, that part is great. And it sounds like, the parents are still in the cult and now I would imagine don't have contact with their own children who have since left.
Well, my mother actually passed before I relocated to Virginia five years ago. My father, when I left when I was 18, I had not had any contact with my father. You're actually cut off. You're, basically, I guess, disowned. And it wasn't until the birth of my daughter 5 years ago that he reached out and he wanted to reconnect. I don't hold any animosity towards how he abused my brothers, what I went through, and how we were treated. I believe everyone deserves a second chance in life, no matter how old you are. There's still room to grow and improve, and I wanted to give that to him. And by doing that, now, this year, actually last year, he's began coming out of the cult and questioning things himself. And I think to myself, wow, who knew a parent could learn from the child?
Uh-huh.
All of those years.
Well, that sounds great, and it's great that it looks like that the strength that you were able to show, on the outside and showing that you can do these things, and at the same time being loving enough to say, I'm going to let you interact with your grandchild as long as you understand that it's on our terms, I think is great. And that's a beautiful thing to be able to say. Essentially, you're helping them through modeling, the behavior that you now believe in. So I think that's
absolutely
great.
And I guess if everyone can learn to forgive someone, everyone benefits and everyone can grow. I'm learning who my father is now. He's a man I've never seen him interact with a child that way because I never experienced it. I just experienced all of the beatings and that he would give to my brothers and all the yelling and screaming and the fear instilled in us walking around your home. You didn't want to touch anything. And now to see him interact with my own children this way, I'm like, oh my goodness, I never knew he was like this.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We are talking with L. Benet. The book is They Made Me Do It, and it documents her life, her first 18 years inside a cult. We're going to take a break right now. We will be right back. Do stay with us. One of the subjects we're going to talk about is how this and human slavery, how there is a connection as it relates to brainwashing. So stay right with us.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. We are speaking with L. Benet, and we're talking about being raised in a cult. And fortunately, she got out. She escaped from it. And her book is called They Made Me Do It. And don't let the name of the book confuse you at all, because she's not blaming anybody. So We have with us Elle Benet, and what I'd like to go into is a little bit about brainwashing, because I think that's one of the issues that maybe people don't realize that does occur in a cult, and there is a connection to human slavery. Now, one of the questions that we have, and this is also coming over our instant messaging, and this one reads, how is this any different from human slavery? Alan, I know you have returned many teenagers who have been brainwashed into thinking they have no other choice than to do what these people tell them. I would like both of your opinions about this connection. So, Elle, let's start with you.
Mm-hmm. The brainwashing aspect of it is you do things without an understanding of why you're doing it. You do it because you feel there's nothing better, that you're not deserving of anything better, and there's a sense of comfort. As odd, as weird as that sounds, it's a comfort level that you have that prohibits you from pursuing or breaking free whatever situation it is that you're in.
Well, and that does make sense, especially if you don't know any better. If it is, if it's drilled into you that this is the way, or like you said, you have these people and it's being told to them over and over again that if you go out into that world, you're going to be hit by a bus, or, this terrible thing is going to happen. And if the only information you're getting is a newspaper, well, the newspapers are full of every negative thing that you can think of. Mm-hmm. So of course they can go, see, look, here's another one, or look, here's a bombing in this country, here's this, mm-hmm. here's this, here's, all of these horrible things going on. It really does, if that's the only level of information that you're getting from the outside world, yeah, I could see where somebody could believe that it's pretty ugly out there.
Absolutely, absolutely, and especially the comfort level that you have as well. That's another factor that just keeps you where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, they're basically nice. So, you're being fed, you're being clothed, and and that certainly looks better than if you think that everything else that's going on out there is what's in the paper. So, which actually opens up a whole other door that I don't want to go into in regards to all that negativity. Mm-hmm. But how this ties to teenagers, I think is also very important. At that time in which there's that rebellion from your own family, unfortunately, there are people out there that prey on them. And they lead them to believe that they are now going to be their family. And by allowing them to do things that their parents wouldn't do or wouldn't allow them to do, such as, doing drugs or being much freer about having premarital sex and things like that, they start to instill in them, this is the way that things are, this is the way that it should be. And then before you know it, they say, okay, now you need to help us, and you need to start doing these little crimes, or we're going to sell your body, or we're going to do these things, and that's what you need to do to be part of our family. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when those things start happening, many of these kids start to buy into it. And I think there's also, and you had mentioned about sort of an embarrassment. I think for some of these kids, there's this embarrassment of, well, now I can't go back home because now I've done these things, and how do you think that connects with the people in the cult as far as that embarrassment factor of maybe I can't really go, so they remain in a very negative and destructive position even outside of the cult? Do you find that?
Absolutely. Just to touch point on the praying of a child's mind is, the child wants to absorb so much, and again, for some reason, they always want to go against what it is that their parents are teaching. And just to be aware that there are people that, look, this actually happened to a friend that's going through it right now. They actually got her daughter because they realized she was lost, no direction, and there's people looking for young children that mm-hmm. are, just running aimlessly around, looking for guidance, looking for direction, and just to be aware of that.
Yep, absolutely. Now, another an email question coming across. This one says, we have read about stories like these. My question for Elle is, does she feel that people inside these cults stay because they are afraid, or what is the driving force that makes them accept the abuse and remain in this situation?
Yes, they do. For myself, I stayed because I was afraid. There, again, is that fear factor of what is going to happen to you once you leave. You feel when you walk outside and you get hit by a bike or you end up in the ER, it's a result of you leaving that cult. And a lot of children, when they took the initiative to leave, the first thing negative that happened to them sent them back into the church. And then I've heard over and over again the stories as a child of the adults that returned. They wanted to repent. They told the stories of what happened to them when they left, of all the negative things that they experienced that were signs that, yes, I told you so. You weren't supposed to do that. And as a child, when you listen to those stories, you say, oh, okay, so this is someone that tried to leave, and this is what happened. They're back. They're back. They're back. Listen to all of these stories that people that haven't made it. So don't try this yourself. Be thankful that these people return to share their negative experiences with you to keep you here. So it's all based on fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's based on that particular story. Obviously, the thousands of people that have left that don't come back, you're not getting that story. So you're not getting any of the success stories. You're only getting the one person who failed on the outside. It's certainly not the best sampling of what you would want to hear. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to touch a little bit more on the book before we run out of time. And I think for anybody out there, understand that this is not just a book about, you know, gee, I want to know what the inside workings of a cult is, because it's more than that. I think this is for anybody that has life challenges. If you have life challenges and you want to know how to escape those, if you want to know how to get over going through something, you know, like it can be a divorce or a foreclosure or any sort of issue that you're going through, I think that Those are the reasons, I think, also to be able to check this book out and really, you know, learn from a lot of those aspects of it. Again, it's more than just this, you know, inside peek into a world that many of us know nothing about. And my question for you, Alice, does the book take you through a journey up until this very point that we're talking right now of your life? Or, you know, have you already sort of, you know, overcome the situation, you know, that you ended the book on?
It actually takes you up until my life today. I had a reader that was in total disbelief that I wrote my book up until the point where I am today. She came to me and she said, okay, so what happened? Where are you now? Is the situation, has it, you know, rectified? Are you okay? And I said, you know, I took you. This is where my life left off. And she's like, what? Really? And it was intentional. My story doesn't have the traditional happily ever, ever, you know, after ending, because I want to share it before what people consider the epitome of success is, to show you that what you have the ability to overcome and to take you on the journey with me and I on your journey as well, because I feed off of the positive responses and the emails that I get. And readers feed off of the inspirational message of the book. And I want to create that movement where people aren't compartmentalizing a lot of the experiences that they're going through. When we hold one another's hands and unite and share your stories in a positive manner, you realize how much everyone can overcome. And I made the choice to put my life out there and bring you to the point of what I'm going through right this very moment, because of how beneficial it could be.
Well, We seem to have a lot of activity. We have another email message coming over. It says, some say writing a book causes us to relive those aspects of our life. Did writing this book cause you to have to relive some of those things that happened to you as a young person?
I did. It was emotionally draining for me. There were days, weeks that I actually could not write anymore because I pushed so many of the experiences that I went through so far down. And when you write about it, it just brings all those memories up. So it was very therapeutic for me to get it, to write it down and to actually face it, because I would never face any of the things that happened to me as a child.
Wow. And right now, and it sounds like even talking about it, can bring it back up as well. Share with us some of the really positive things that have come out of this. Share with us what you're doing now, how you're able to make a positive difference in the lives of others through sharing this book.
Absolutely. The biggest thing I take away and I want to share with people is that we live in fear. We live in fear, and not just to the extreme of when I was raised, being raised in a cult, but we're just so fearful that it controls so much of our mind. For example, foreclosure. I was so fearful of losing my home, that until you let go of that fear and realize, you know what, instead of being fearful of losing my home, what can I take from this positive? Well, what can you take positive from a foreclosure? Well, I got an attorney, and we began researching the documents, and we found a lot of questionable things that were being done by the bank. And it's just to show that don't let fear control you. If you can break free of that, anything that's negative, and just dig for that positive, there's always that little light. And if you can find it, you can make amazing changes in your journey.
Wow. I think go ahead.
Well, that is just the essence of what I want people to take from this, is finding that light through your trials and through your tribulations, just finding it and realizing your own potential. And don't give up on anything, your desires or your dreams, because they're obtainable. Just realize how much you've overcome, and it's going to show you where you can go, and you can do it.
Now, anybody that's listened to this knows that I love success stories. Have you been contacted by people who have now, after reading your book, gotten back in contact with you just to thank you and talked a little bit about how it impacted them?
Yes, and it's been so moving. And it's actually what inspires me to keep going, because sometimes you get hesitant, like, oh, I'm sharing so much of my personal life, I don't know. And then you get an email that reminds you of why you're doing what you're doing, who you touch. And a lot of the stories are really... It's just really emotionally, because I'm a very emotional person, emotionally draining for me to hear what people have gone through. But to hear what it helped them get through is just, I just shake my head and I smile and I just say, thank you for showing me that this is what I was supposed to do.
Now, are you comfortable with sharing a couple of those stories with us? I know obviously we're not using anybody's names, but if you could share a couple of them so that maybe somebody out mm-hmm. there can hear that and go, well, that's kind of what I would want it to, how I would want it to affect me.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the stories, and I'll share a couple, was actually from a young child that was from a member of the congregation, and he was trying to leave, and his parents disowned him. He was unable to go because he was fighting just what I went through. And it mm-hmm. was nice to be able, he said, you know, your story, if nothing else, just let me tell you that it served its purpose, because I felt that everything that you went through, you wrote it for me, and you helped me so much. And he just said, thank you. And that was so touching.
So, and is he since now out and and moving on with his own life, or do we know that?
Well, I see him on Facebook, so I assume by a lot of things I see him on Facebook.
I was going to say, I don't think Facebook's allowed, right? So if he's on Facebook, he must be moving forward with his life.
Yeah, and I was really happy to hear that. Another one I actually just pulled up is the woman wrote, she said, hopefully one day I will truly be brave enough to say these things out loud in terms of all the experiences she has gone through, abuse as a child. She says, I will truly be brave enough one day to say these things out loud in a book or through poems, if for no other reason than to make another woman feel less alone. If for no other reason, let her know that it's all right that life hasn't been kind or proper, because truly, she will be the captain of her own soul. And that was very, very touching to hear that and read that from her.
Absolutely. That is so beautiful. Elle, I just want to tell you, I want to thank you so much for coming on with us. Thank you for writing the book. Thank you for the courage that you have shown. Again, for anybody out there, if you want to learn more about how to get the book, or if you just want to be able to contact Elle through the website, you can go to www.ellebenet.com. That's E as in Edward, L-L-E, B as in boy, E-N-E-T.com. Please check it out. We need more people like her who are going to help us lead the way. So again, Elle, thank you so much.
And thank you for having me.
All right. And for everybody out there, I also want to share just sort of a reminder out there. We have I'm going to play a little bit of a piece by Chet Sisk. He is an author, educator, and just really an incredible, inspirational leader. So we're going to play a little bit from him, and we will do that to sort of close the show out. Be with us again next week on Answers for the Family. Bye now.
Hello, my name is Chet W. Sisk. I'm an 11-year life coach and the leadership development specialist for a nonprofit called the World Assembly of Youth. I'm going to provide a year of online life coaching for everyone that signs up and becomes a sponsor for our new online leadership development app called the LEAD Course. The course was created for young leaders in emerging countries and new leaders here in the United States. It teaches a model of leadership that includes sustainability, loving kindness, vision, feminine principles, personal empowerment, and connectedness. The tuition for this class is only $50 a year, but in some parts of the world, that's more than a month's salary. We have students in Niger, Bangladesh, Malawi, Namibia, Mongolia, Brazil, and more countries that simply can't afford the $50 a year tuition to take the class. Now, to offset our cost, we need you to sponsor them. If you sign up and donate the $50 sponsor rate, one of the students from the countries mentioned will be able to take the class and further the world into a new direction in leadership. We can win the hearts and minds of young leaders now, while the window is open. Now, this isn't a something-for-nothing proposition. You sponsor them, and we'll provide you with an online life coaching package that will empower you on your path. Go to www.leadtheshift.com, click the Sign Up Now icon, register, then mark the Sponsor button. Be ready to receive your free online life coaching. Once you sign up, your life coaching starts immediately. We are in desperate need of at least 31 of you to sign up as soon as possible. Go to www.leadtheshift.com. Thank you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.